The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is October the 25th, 2016. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Good to be back on the airways with you today. Yesterday, I again want to thank the guest that we had, the anonymous caller who was one of the family members who was mistreated at the courthouse in New York City as they tried to show support in the courtroom for their loved one that got caught up in the Bronx 120 sweep, which included elements of the federal government, the state government, as well as the NYPD slave catchers. Want to thank Karen Zhao also for coming on and talking about the Bronx 120 and the national prison strikes. If y'all have not heard that broadcast, I think it was a very important broadcast of information that's of things that are going on behind these enemy lines from a perspective that you're not going to get from the enemy's propaganda networks. So really, you probably have not heard anything really about the Bronx 120 on your national news networks. So definitely check out that podcast from yesterday. Just wanted to give those people a quick shout out, and to also just let people know, please listen to that podcast and help spread that information. Those young men caught up in that terrorist act, they need help. They really do. They really need some help. Okay, so today we do have a open line. It'll just be open forums, open lines, anything that you want to discuss, whether the elections are on your mind. I know that too many people are emotionally invested in these elections, in the presidential elections, and it's nothing new. A lot of people get emotional over that. I just don't understand that emotion behind it, because no matter who becomes the CEO of USA Inc., it is not going to usher in a period of enlightenment and we are all going to be singing Kumbaya and all this and that. There is still going to be a whole lot of work to do. So it doesn't matter to me, really. I mean, it matters. But when you're looking at the two people that the system has selected as the two major candidates, it don't matter. It don't matter. You're getting Frick or Frack, and they're twins. So take your poison. Pick your poison, as they say. But again, why do people get so emotionally invested in it to the point that they will buy into these elections like they're credible and act like a whole lot of shenanigans have not already occurred? The elections have already been rigged. That is how Hillary Clinton got the Democratic primary. But oh, just because Donald Trump is now saying it's rigged and it's going to be rigged against him, And I really don't think he really wants to win. Seems like he's trying to sabotage his own election, and he's just playing his system role, the control opposition. But even when he says it, when people attack him and, oh, how dare you and attack the integrity of our elections? Well, I mean, how are you going to ignore what happened in the Democratic primaries? How are you going to ignore hundreds of years, 200 years, to however old this country is and been holding elections? How have they not all been rigged to one degree or another? But when we talking about this modern period in this election, how are you going to ignore all of the hacks of the voter registration databases, the vote flipping? I was listening to Change Matters Solution this morning on the network. They come on every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, and I engineer the program. They asked me to chime in from time to time. And so... I don't under. We had a caller who called in from California. Actually, it was Andrea James, who is the host of Today's Entrepreneur, which comes on Mondays on the network. But saying she went to vote, and the vote she voted for Clinton, and the vote flipped to Trump. Then I heard other reports. I think they mentioned that the exact opposite was happening in other states. And like I said, and what idiots out there are not pressing their election boards and what have you to get rid of these hackable electronic voting machines? How many times do we have to see this before people wake up and see that these elections are never secure, they're never fair? And I just don't see the point of getting that emotionally invested in them. Am I telling people not to vote? By no means am I doing that, because I'm going to go vote. But when it comes to the top of the ticket, I believe that those people are selected. I believe they are selected by the system. So I don't see how people can on either side get so emotionally invested. Just like when I was listening to a report, I was tuned in to the Cal's compensatory call-in Saturday, and they played a clip of this black man who had went to visit the site of where, what's his name, that was killed in Mississippi, I believe it was, from Chicago, the young man's name. Why is his name escaping me right now? But they brutally, Emmett Till. So wherever they found Emmett Till's body, after it had, you know, they then tortured him, brutalized him, looked like shot him in the head, and then tied around an industrial fan around his neck and threw him in the river. So they got a historical marker where they found his dead body. Why? Number one, why? Why would you have a marker? I mean, we're going to put markers up for victims, man. It will be a marker every 2 feet, probably. I mean, it wouldn't be no room for all these victims over the years. But besides that, the guy, apparently somebody shot bullet holes into the sign that marked where Emmett Till was murdered. And the man used the word emotional. I was emotional when I saw these bullet holes in this sign. I was very emotional, and I was shocked. And I was like, how you going to be shocked? How are you shocked? If you going to visit the murder site, and I really don't get that, but you're going to visit the murder site, and you know that murder was covered up, and it's still nobody's ever paid for the crime and what have you, and just all their history and all these lynchings, police lynchings of people where they shoot them and kill them, just similar to lynchings, all of this going on, why would you be shocked that somebody shot up a sign? Why would you be shocked at that? Why would you get emotional over that? That's an inanimate object. And I'm not to attack the person personally, but that's a sign of weakness. when you allow things to just get you so emotional. I can see if your mother died, your father died, and they were great parents, and or a sibling that you was close to died, or your spouse died. But a sign being shot up, you're going to get emotional over that. Over an election that has a history of being rigged, you're going to get emotional over that. Why? So if you have any comments on again, it's an open forum, open lines, whatever's on your mind. I'm not telling people not to participate in politics, because I participate. And I have seen the difference in my county in who we elect. So we're not getting them kind of reports of people being abused in the jails like we hear all over the country. We're not getting those reports of like we got from Baltimore, seeing videos of people being pistol whipped, children being pistol whipped by cops. We're not seeing all of that. That is because of the people who are in those elected offices over those particular positions of government. Has a direct relation to it. So I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote. But I'm not going to be emotionally invested in the outcome, because I know that no matter who becomes the next CEO of USA Inc., the very day that they are sworn in, slavery will still be the law of the land. And I'm certainly not going to be relying on that person to recognize this fact and to do anything to change it. I'm going to fight them like I would fight anyone else. Press them on the issues, and I'm a Malcolm X kind of guy by any means necessary, a death by a thousand paper cuts, but I make it no secret. I want to see USA Inc. dissolved. The corporation needs to be dissolved, and we need to start over and create a real republic. Okay, so that's where I stand on that. There is a couple of other items, but there is one main story that I would like to bring to people's attention. I have reported on Byron Allen's lawsuits in the past. He once sued Al Sharpton. He sued the NAACP. He sued Comcast. They were all defendants, listed as defendants. And he was suing the NAACP and Al Sharpton because he was saying that they were taking donations and Al Sharpton taking like a television program as payoff so that they don't raise the issue about the lack of African American, I'm using Byron Allen's words, but African American owned media. And they're being shut out of the advertisement revenue stream. They're being shut out of having an opportunity to present their programming on the major cable networks. And so this particular lawsuit, I'm not sure if it's the same one, but this particular lawsuit is against Charter Communications and the FCC. That's the Federal Communications Commission. So therefore, he is suing the U.S. government in a racial discrimination lawsuit. Now, I support him in his endeavors, but because they are practicing racism. But as detailed in some of his other lawsuits, he was complaining about Walmart not spending money with African American owned media. He was talking about newsprint, whether we're talking about newspapers or black owned magazines, and I don't even think there's any more of those left that have major distribution. He was also talking about other corporations and saying how they were not supporting black-owned media with their ad dollars. Well, if it was ads from AT&T, if it was ads from Walmart, if it was ads from McDonald's, I'm not taking that money. That's blood money. Those corporations are part of or utilizing labor provided to them by the prison industrial complex, by modern slavery. That's blood money. That's blood money. So a lot of people I feel in the black community, and I'm all for entrepreneurialism, I'm all for black business building, I'm all for recirculating black dollars, but what I'm not for is taking money from people who are engaged in activities that prey upon our communities, whether it is they're not paying the workers a livable wage, whether they have racist hiring practices, whether they are utilizing prison slavery, prison slave labor, and what have you. I mean, where do you draw the lines with your ethics? And I have asked people who are in the public eye about finance and things of that nature, and I asked them, are you invested in any of these companies that are utilizing prison slave labor? Never get no answer. Also, never hear them speak on that particular issue. So that's again how proxy racism works. That's how we as individuals work or invest in a system of corruption. A person like that, why would you think that they want the system to change? That they, if they found a way to profit from it, why would they want it to change? But I do want to talk about Byron Allen's lawsuit, because Malcolm X said media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It can control the minds of the masses. It can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. And in addition to that, on btrcommunity.com, I wrote about this story or pertaining to Malcolm's quote. In addition, they can make a racist look like they're not racist, how they're trying to make Hillary Clinton look like she's not racist. Come on, people. I'm speaking to the emotional voters out there who thinks that Donald Trump is so much worse than Hillary Clinton. They're both criminals, man. They're both racist. And that was on full display when you voted against her when she was running against Obama. And you know that's one of the reasons why you voted against Hillary Clinton in 2000, the Democratic 2007 primaries, and you voted against her. Well, of course, she didn't make it to the 2008 general election because you chose Barack Obama. And you know one of the reasons was because Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton did much damage to the black community and they're racist. But now, all of a sudden, 8 years later, I'm supposed to believe you got amnesia or something? Like you don't remember these things? Like she has went to some kind of rehabilitative program for racism or something? I mean, come on. Just because these celebrities are giving her the stamp of approval, they ain't doing it because she's a good person or a good candidate, or no, they doing it because they trying to snuggle up to power in case she wins. Then they can, well, she's going to win. The system has already decided. But so that they can then make trips to the White House. I mean, there's butter biscuits to be had when you have a close relationship with racists like that. You can get some butter biscuits. They'll throw you a few crumbs and bones and what have you. And that's what I see going on. And so that's the power of the media. That's the power of the media. In this election, more than any, if you read the WikiLeaks cables from the DNC, instead of allowing the media to control your mind, and you will see the relationship between the Clinton campaign and the mainstream media. This election is a done deal. Of course it's rigged. They're all rigged. So, but this is important, though. And again, while I support in principle this lawsuit that Byron Allen has filed, it's just the other issues that I raised, he's not addressing it. And he seems to have no problem taking money from people to promote their products or to promote their stores or to promote their businesses and their services, and they're preying upon our people as prison slaves. won't give them a job on the outside, but, you know, if they get locked up, oh, we got this program in partnership with the government to rehabilitate you. We're going to teach you these skills of how to work on the phones and troubleshoot cell phone service. And then when you get out, you go to apply to that company. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't hire felons. So there you go. The telephone number, if you have a question, comment, anything you want to bring up, is open forum, open lines. Please don't wait to the last minute. Only going to be on an hour up into the 5 o'clock hour. The telephone number to dial is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment. Sorry, the studio line is not open. I'm boycotting Skype because I shouldn't have to pay for a product that is just consistently getting worse and worse and worse. But I may have a replacement for it. So those are the telephone numbers. Again, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1. If you would like to comment on air, I'm going to jump into this article from, I don't even know how to say this, your web, but it's EURWEB.com. EURWEB.com, your web, something like that. Anyway, they published this article, and it says that Byron Allen has overcome Charter Communications' attempts to dismiss his $10 billion lawsuit. He actually did an interview. I'm talking about Byron Allen. He was talking to attorney Antonio Moore about this case. It's about an hour-long video, so if you click on the link on BTR, in BTRCommunity.com pertaining to this story, it has at the bottom where you can watch that video in its entirety, that interview. But I'm just going to share some of what has been posted if their website would quit being so busy and slow down. It says a federal judge rejected a bid by Charter Communications. Come on now. Charter Communications, excuse me, a federal judge rejected a bid to dismiss a $10 billion racial discrimination lawsuit filed by Byron Allen's Entertainment Studios and the National Association of African American Owned Media brought against Charter Communications and the FCC for racial discrimination in contracting for television channel carriage. Federal District Court Judge George Wu wrote in the opinion, first, it argues that plaintiffs have not eliminated, indeed, the FAC reveals, whatever that means, the possibility that the reasons for defendants' refusal to contract were not race-based at all, but were due to legitimate business considerations. Second, somewhat linked to that first argument, defendant asserts that plaintiff is required to demonstrate not just that racial animus was one contributing factor. So this is part of what the Charter Communications, it doesn't say anything about the FCC unless this is a misprint. Because the FCC, that's the Federal Communications Commission, which licensed public airwaves and what have you. This is them saying, giving the reason as to why they weren't using any African-American, 100% African-owned media content. And that they had, but anyway, to make a long story short, the judge was not buying it, and he allowed Mr. Allen's lawsuit to go forward. Now, this is what Mr. Allen had to say in part about it. Everybody talks about diversity, and everybody complains about the lack of diversity and economic inclusion. Today, we made history by doing something about it. This lawsuit was filed to provide distribution and real economic inclusion for 100% African American owned media. The cable industry spends $70 billion a year licensing cable networks, and 100% African-American-owned media receives zero. This is completely unacceptable. We will not stop until we achieve real economic inclusion for 100% African-American media. So again, you can check out the video on that page on Euroweb. I guess it's Euroweb, EURWEB.com. Byron Allen overcomes Charter Communications' attempt to dismiss his $10 billion lawsuit. So again, I support this in principle. I support his lawsuit in principle. But at the same time, I've seen him talk about wanting ad revenue from Walmart and these other corporations. Again, if you are doing any kind of media, especially, let's say, newspapers, if you have a newspaper, your newspaper owner, editor, publisher, and you're really doing some great investigative reporting that just shows the city that you're in is engaged in patterns and practices of racism, and you are not compromised in how you discuss these issues and what have you, they're not going to advertise on your network or in your paper. They're just simply not going to do it. Now, if you're producing the kind of safe media like Byron Allen produces, Mr. Allen is known for situation comedies. They call them sitcoms. He's known for like judge reality shows, things like that. Nothing drama, nothing cutting edge that is going to bring any kind of enlightenment to racism and what have you. Any of the ills of the society. I haven't seen anything that he's produced. So I would say he's producing safe media. And yes, there's nothing wrong with producing that type of media. I don't have any problem with that. We need downtime. Sometimes we need something to, for an hour maybe, take us away from our problems. Just to, you know, so I ain't got a problem with people watching situational comedies and what have you. And I do see the need for 100% African-American owned production of this type media, where we telling our own stories instead of them hiring somebody like, let's say, the producer of Empire, you know, where we can see problems in that media, where it is actually mirroring the racist media, where it is showing black people in just demonizing them, basically. And I ain't got nothing wrong with real, keeping it real and all of that. But in terms of what Mr. Allen's talking about, they usually just hire a black person to be like the executive producer, or they pitch the ideal and they get executive producer title on it, and they might have a little influence on the show. And but then the majority of the writers will be white, writing about black people. I just shared a petition yesterday from the Asian American community who were angry with Disney because they were going to retell the Chinese story about Mulan, and they've already put out a couple, but they were going to come out with another one, and then she was going to have a white savior. You know, white male comes to save the day and all of that. And the Asian community signed petitions, made phone calls, and so now they are not going to produce a film of Mulan with the white savior. So now they're saying, well, that's just part of the fight right there, that we're not done. Now we need Asian or Chinese writers, Chinese American writers, or Asians. This is their culture. This story originates with them. Now we need you to put some Asian writers on the staff instead of having all these white people telling our story. So that's what you got to deal with in the mainstream corporation. Again, I support his lawsuit in principle. I just have ethical concerns about the type of advertisement revenue that we accept from these type of corporations and what have you. We help keep them in business by promoting them to our listeners, our viewers, and readers. So that's something to think about. So I agree with him in principle. But at the same time, I also believe that I'm not going to be begging him, and he's not begging. He's really not begging. I don't want to give that impression that he's begging or anything, but we need to be building our own platforms. There is too many black dollars out there, too many multimillionaires, too many billionaires. Him and Oprah should have got together, and they could have 100% owned the Oprah networks. But now we know Oprah Network ain't 100% owned by her. That's what people like them should be doing, instead of begging these people, and do something like Netflix is doing. Netflix, I saw that their stock value had increased tremendously, unexpectedly, and it's totally online based. And there is a black Netflix. I can't recall the name of it. Seems like I came across it before. I bookmarked it to check back later. But it's similar to Netflix, but it's all black movies. But the movies I was seeing, again, these were black exploitation films, and it has some more modern films, and they weren't necessarily produced by black people or written by black people, but it starred black people and it was about black people. So I guess in that regards, you could say it was a black Netflix. But Netflix, I read an article yesterday that they are so encouraged by their growth. Again, their membership is only like $10 a month. You can watch these movies on your tablets, devices, and what have you. But I was reading another article where they were willing to take on $48 billion in debt to produce their own content instead of licensing content from the studios that's out there producing their own content. The 13th documentary, that was a Netflix original content that Luke Cage, I've heard people talk about, the black superhero Marvel series, that's original Netflix content. So again, why do we not take advantage of technology and leverage for ourselves? And there are people who are doing that, instead of expecting these people to deal with us honestly and expecting them to not practice racism and to exclude us. So, I mean, it is on us as the producers. It is on us as the consumers. We do have to start supporting more black businesses, and that includes entertainment businesses. The things that get me, though, is when, let's say, Tyler Perry, for example. Now, he built up his own self with his plays and what have you, and then he just sold everything. He sold it to other people. Like Nate Parker sold the rights to the film Nat Turner. It was bought by the racist, what's his name, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox. So that's my issue. We always sell out, looking to make that quick $1 million, become a millionaire overnight. And I can't judge people on that. I really can't, because I know our conditioning. I know that it takes money to do just about anything. And so I can't really fault them for that, for selling their intellectual property and what have you, especially if their target demographic audience isn't really supporting them. So I can understand that. It's a very complex issue to talk about, but media is very important. I do want to point that out, whether we're talking about documentaries, whether we're talking about entertainment, fiction, what have you, it still plays a huge role in how people are portrayed. and how the story is told. Because, like I wrote, this can make a racist look like they're not racist when we're talking about the news media, or it can make black people look like criminals and white people look like gods. Like they were trying to do with the Mulan in the Asian community. Say, we're not having that. There's no white savior in the original Mulan story. So, no. So, yeah, that's all I really have about that. I'm going to take a station identification break and just hit some of these other stories that I could be, that I'd like to share with you. There's a number of things that that's always taking place, so that's not it. But there's some important stories that's going on that I have not been able to share this week. Again, if you have any stories that you would like to share, anything you would like to ask me my opinion on, I am certainly not shy on giving my opinion. And that telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to come in on air. We got about 25 minutes left in the broadcast. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Give up on my way. Oh, yeah.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Wouldn't it be crazy? Don't you step for me?
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Do want to give a shout out to those who have been catching and watching the stream on YouTube, as we now stream the programs, our live programming on the YouTube channel of the watch or viewers, as they say, and the number of minutes being consumed on our channel has been rising dramatically. And I know it has to do with us making a step to live stream the program or simulcast it on YouTube in addition to our regular digital radio stream. So shout out to the viewers on YouTube. I did mention Mulan about the media again. Who's controlling the minds of the masses? That's the media makers. So I don't really like this organization. We Are Ultraviolet .org. I really don't like them because they ignore how women are. This is like a feminist movement or feminist organization. They even got males working for them, and they never, although I have written them about it, they don't never raise the issue of the mistreatment of women on the prison plantations. And we've seen horrible stories about women being stripped naked, hog-tied, and left on a cell floor for days with no food or no water by guards in a women's prison in Michigan. Where was Ultraviolet? Where were they? They didn't say nothing about it, didn't put out an email blast to their subscribers, didn't tweet about it on Facebook or on their Twitter accounts. When the women in California were being sterilized in the prisons, I didn't see them raising the alarm and talking about these women's reproductive rights and what have you. So that's why I don't really get down with them like that. But this petition I did sign, It says, tell the U.S. Justice Department of Justice, stop the sexual humiliation of water protectors by Morton County Police. You all may have heard about, I know people have been posting about it in BTR community. I know I posted an article about the indigenous tribes blocking the building of the oil pipeline, the name of which escapes me right now, but I'm sure they'll probably bring it up in this piece right here on this petition. But it's going on at Standing Rock in North Dakota. And I saw today where the tribes said that they filed a paperwork to exercise eminent domain over the lands, which they say by their treaties they have not ceded to the United States. And so, but anyway, they have been abusing those people. Apparently the police are joining in with the private security mercenaries and been mistreating the people. Right now, this is from weareultraviolet.org. Right now, Native women are being strip searched and jailed in Standing Rock, North Dakota. The women who are members of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe have been peacefully protesting to stop the construction of an oil pipeline that would destroy sacred sites and threaten the water supply for millions of families. In response, North Dakota authorities have started to arrest, strip search, and hold protesters for days without bond. One woman was arrested without any cause given, stripped naked, and left naked in a jail cell overnight. Now, I just read that. So I was telling about the women in Michigan prison, how they were doing these women. So apparently this must be in a slave catcher's handbook or something, this sort of treatment and a mistreatment, I should say. The protests have gotten national attention, but not many know about the abusive arrests and violent strip searches. The Department of Justice, which officially sided with the resistant efforts a few weeks back, has the authority to step in and stop local authorities from abusing the law. As we speak up in huge numbers, the Department of Justice will intervene again. Well, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Department of Justice on anything. Yeah, the Obama administration said some things that would give you the indication that he's on your side, but don't fall for it. Do not fall for it. He is the CEO of USA Inc., a very powerful corporation that exists solely for the benefit of other corporations. So don't fall for it. Yes, these acknowledgments are important, but again, don't get emotional and think that this man is on your side, because he's not. You have to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep resisting and keep resisting. So shout out to the water protectors in North Dakota. I did sign this petition. It's posted in btrcommunity.com. We do have a caller. Let me go to the caller, area code 910. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, Brother Scotty, how you doing? This is Zion.
Hey, I'm surviving behind the enemy lines. How about yourself?
I'm trying to do the same. Hey, I know this is not really a crazy topic, but you mentioned the show Luke Cage that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Man, have you ever had a chance to check it out? Because they pick up on so many subtleties.
Yes.
Like they throw in comments about the prison slavery.
Yes,
they throw in comments about you see the prison, how you see the prisoners working inside of the in the complex.
Yes.
There's so many things that the director, I hope he did that intentionally to throw it out for everybody, because I sure did pick up on all of it.
Yes, and also the role of the slave catcher who got killed, ended up the white male slave catcher who was the partner of the black woman slave catcher. And I think love interest of Luke and what have you. But, yeah, I have been watching it. It also shows the corruption of government officials. And so, yeah, it covers a bevy of social issues. I think it's well written. I don't watch a whole lot of entertainment.
I really do too.
I don't watch a whole lot of entertainment, but I wanted to check it out. so that I could see if it was worth something me supporting by watching it.
Yeah, I think it's real, well written, well acted, and I love how he threw in all of that for, you know, for people that are aware, you know, to pick up on, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm glad somebody is throwing it out there like that.
Yes, I've been pleasantly surprised and impressed by Netflix's embrace of black content. And because the 13th, that was a documentary that was funded by Netflix. Although I had my critique and thought it fell short in some areas, it still put the question in front of people. And it most importantly put the text of the 13th Amendment in front of people. So I've been pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah, that was pretty much all I wanted to bring up, because I thought that was pretty cool that it, you know, how he just throwing that out there for everybody to pick up on, even for those people who not aware. I think they could, you know, they could see, you know, how he did it.
Yeah, so yeah, it is a well written series for those that like the Marvel comic books heroes. He is a little known black Marvel superhero. All right, Zion, well, thanks for chiming in, man, and you stay safe behind these enemy lines. How's the situation? Is it improving? I know you are in the area here in North Carolina impacted by Hurricane Matthew. How's that situation? Is it improving, deteriorating? What's going on?
It's improving. You know, it's a day-by-day process. You know, we lost some things, but, you know, I still got the things that's most important to me. You know, I still got my wife and my family. So, you know, everything else could be, you know, be replaced. So that's what I'm working on, replacing a few things. And, you know, we're just going to push on and survive, man. Because, you know, I'm a warrior and I'm trying to raise my family to be the same.
Well, I saw a report that came out about people impacted by Hurricane Matthew. And it was saying that a lot of elderly people are struggling to find food, and they're depending on the government.
They really are. I know down in Lumberton, North Carolina, which is like maybe 25 minutes from where I live at, they were, to me, most impacted in the state. And I'm hearing people talking about that when FEMA come bring plates, they bring enough for half the people. And there's still 100 people in line that's left hungry.
I think, again, you know, these sad situations expresses the importance of preparing, like they talk about on Tando.
Yeah, because, you know, the major news companies was here when the water is gone and people need help. And people ain't here no more. You know, everybody gone. It ain't news to people no more. You got people hungry, and I like, because it's us that's hungry. It's melanated. Well, it's some poor, you know, it's some poor, you know, white people that's down there too. That's in them lines to get them food stamps and everything. You know, I just feel like they should do more, man. They denying people because they make a couple more dollars extra than they should, but people lost a lot.
Well, we definitely will be trying to keep up with that, and I'm with you. I feel like they definitely can do more.
Yeah. All right. Well, you take it easy. You know, I'm always listening. Always got my ear on. And peace to you, brother.
All right. Peace to you and your family. Okay, let's go ahead.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Let me see. We have about 12 minutes left in the broadcast. Let me see. That story about Mulan, I want to read that to you again because it's important, and it just shows that non-white people in this system of racism have similar struggles and similar issues with the system. So it says that after, this is coming to you from 18mr.org, 18mr.org. I do not know how I got this petition other than they must have looked us up and sent it to me directly. But it says after 16,000 signatures and a trending hashtag demanded Disney Make Mulan right. Disney has promised Mulan would remain the lead character in her own story, and that all primary roles, including the love interest, are Chinese. It's a huge win, but the fight isn't over. We've always believed that media representation is about more than who is on camera. It's also about who is in the writer's room and the executive office. That's why we need to keep pressure for Disney to make Mulan right by committing to hire an Asian American writer to work on the script. Tell Disney to add an Asian American writer to the Legend of Mulan team. So it goes on to talk about the white savior plot that they found out about, and that they just was not comfortable with that. But I mean, that's typical of white media. Let's just call it what it is. It's white people producing their media. And whether it's wrong or right, there is a natural inclination for people to try to show their own group in a positive light and not a negative light, or show themselves as being supreme, or show themselves as being some kind of god, or what have you. So, I mean, these things are important. I mean, there's just been too much research, too many studies to show the impact of media on people's minds. So these things are important. So I'm not Asian. Don't have any Asian ancestry, but I'm for justice. And if they're going to have a white savior in this and her love interest was going to be white, hey, I can see the racism in that. So I'm opposed to all racism. So I signed a petition. Let's see. Got about 9 minutes. There is a urgent campaign. I may have mentioned this yesterday, but more information has come out about our political prisoners. Again, if you are a member of BTRCommunity.com, we have a group called Political Prisoners and Prisoners of War. And as I get information via email or people shooting me stuff on social media about our political prisoners, I try to keep up with it and post it in our Political Prisoners and Prisoners of War group to keep our warriors in front of the minds of our masses or the members of BTR community. So again, there is an urgent medical campaign for political prisoner Robert Self Hayes, a member of the Black Panther Party. He was working in New York City when he was in the Panthers back in the 60s. Again, he has, as I've stated in previous broadcasts, he's suffering from uncontrolled diabetes for over 15 years. His sugar is up to the 400s, and then it goes down so low he falls into a diabetic coma. He's had three such cold blue diabetic comas in the past 2 months, and each one could end in death. And it's not being treated properly. And even though the medical people who have seen him through the prison are saying that he needs an insulin pump and sugar monitor immediately to avert another near fatal incident, well, they just taking their own sweet time about getting it. And a lot of times this is deliberate and intentional, and they're just trying to kill these Black Panthers. That's what they're trying to do. So please, you can call, you can fax. We put that information in btrcommunity.com. you can also find this information of NYC Jericho, or just do a Google search on Seth Hayes or Robert Seth Hayes. You'll find this information, but it is posted in btrcommunity.com. Again, just to let you know what's coming on in terms of live programming tonight, we have Tando Radio Show. We'll be coming up in a little over an hour, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Brother Dave will be on air live today. Oh, by the way, sorry about the issues with yesterday's broadcast. It was pre-recorded, and I was broadcasting the pre-recorded podcast during his time slot, and I left the room for 10 minutes, came back. I wasn't hearing anything. And the podcast was playing, but I wasn't hearing anything, so I just went ahead and cut it off and then did some editing work and posted the entire podcast as a podcast, obviously, the recording as a podcast. So it is there. It was posted last night. So he says he's going to do a continuation of that program today. Still waiting to hear from Code Breakers to see what their subject matter will be tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. They're on every 2 weeks on Tuesdays. Every 2 weeks at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And this is one of the weeks where they are on air. So check out Code Breakers tonight, where they look at current events through the prism of racism and white supremacy and trying to figure it out, figure out the problem. Okay, let me see. Is there anything else? Anything else? No, I can't think of anything else. There is really just so much out there. Albert Wood Fox is in the news. He's another political prisoner. He says he is choosing to use his anger as a means for changing things. Albert Wood Fox was one of the Black Panthers who were known as the Angola Three. One of them has died already. And Albert was held in solitary confinement for over 40 years. And he is still trying to come to terms with that psychological damage that has been done to him through that torture. And he is angry. He has not come out and said, well, I forgive him. He ain't forgiving him. He ain't praying for him or nothing like that. No, he said that he is using his anger as a fuel to do whatever he can to bring about change. Changing things is the words that he says. All right, so that's a story that's posted in btrcommunity.com. All right, tomorrow is Wednesday, so BTR News will not be on air tomorrow at the 4 o'clock p.m. slot. But I will be joining my abolitionist comrades at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, Wednesday night, for New Abolitionist Radio, where we will be discussing 21st century slavery and human trafficking. That's 21st century and human slavery and human trafficking as prescribed by the U.S. Constitution's 13th Amendment, which legalized slavery, constitutionalized it, we could even say, for the first time in this so-called nation corporation's history. First time. So, definitely want to be informed about modern-day slavery and human trafficking, and we do our best every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on New Abolitionist Radio. And I can actually say the award-winning radio broadcast, New Abolitionist Radio. Recognize the fact that we do live behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc. Slavery is the law of the land. There's a lot of things that are going on out there that are not right, are not just, a lot of injustice going on, and it's not going to change itself. You should be convinced of that. If the beast had the nature to change on his own, he would have done it. So that is where we come in. We have to make our will stronger than the enemy's will, and we have to put in the work to finally rid ourselves and future generations of this very, very evil beast they call, I call USA Inc., where they are still engaged in slavery. So with that said, be safe out there, and I really mean it. Be safe. Peace and blessings to all.